This evening, we're going to be looking at John chapter 6. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to John 6, starting in verse 1. And it is a familiar passage, as Brad alluded to many of us. But God's Word is also alive and active and can do more than we can possibly imagine if we'll receive it confidently and expectantly in faith. We're going to look at verses 1 through 15 here in John 6, and I've titled the message tonight, The Savior's Solution. The Savior's Solution. The story goes like this. There was a farmer who was not a believer. He was an atheist, but a friend invited him to go hear John Wesley preach, and the farmer went and was hearing the sermon start, and John Wesley's a good preacher, and after a couple moments, the farmer was really captivated by the sermon. The farmer was really all about money, and the sermon was about money. And so, at the beginning of his sermon, John Wesley, his first point, he had 3 points in a sermon, his first point in the sermon was, get all you can. Get all the money that you can. And he talked about being a hard worker, and be industrious, and be a good employee, and work really hard. And this farmer was like blown away. He's like, wow, I wasn't expecting this. This is really a great message. Like, this is awesome. He's like, that speaks to me. He's like, and his friend that had invited him, he nudged his friend. He's like, have you ever heard a message like this? This is great. This guy's got some wisdom. I like this preacher. So John Wesley, he got to his second point, which was, save all you can. Save all the money you can. And he talked about being hardworking and purposeful and frugal, and don't overindulge. Don't spend your money and waste it on frivolous things and a life of luxury, but save your money. And this farmer's thinking, man, this is so good. He's like, I've done that since I was a kid. I've worked hard. I've saved my money. And if this is what being a Christian's all about, man, I've got it made. He's like, that is me to a T. And he's just thinking, salvation's come to my house. I'm going to heaven. Like, I'm totally on point with this, what this preacher's saying. And he was so excited. And then Wesley got to his third point, and he said, give all you can. And the farmer said, I just blew the whole thing. That just ruined it. You know, we all have needs in our life, and we have ways that we think are good to meet those needs in our life, whether it's through hard work or through education or whatever it may be, but we've got needs and we try to meet those with different solutions, whether they're current needs or needs that we're anticipating in the future. And we pursue different solutions in our lives for all these different needs. And I think we're going to see tonight, I've got 5 points. I'm trying to outdo John Wesley, but I've got 5 points tonight from this text. And we're going to see that God offers the best solution to meet our needs. So we're just going to jump right in here to John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and he saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Jesus asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So let's recap the situation here, the problem, the need, and then we're going to check out Jesus' solution for us. Well, first of all, it's obvious there's a great need. The Bible says there were 5,000 hungry men. But along with those hungry men, there's also some hungry women. There's hungry children. There's probably 15 to 20,000 people there, and they're hungry. And one possible solution, this same story is told in Mark, in chapter 6 of Mark. And in verses 35 and 36 there in Mark, it says the disciples offered one possible solution. They said, Jesus, send the people away and let them go buy food for themselves. Send them away and let them go buy food. And Jesus said, no, that's not my solution. It's a plan, but it's not a good one. You give them something to eat. And the disciples said, we don't have that kind of money. We can't go and buy food for them. Another possible solution, get more money. Verses 5 and 6 here, Jesus gave Philip this test question, and implied in Philip's response, he's saying, Jesus, that's not going to work. We can't raise enough. It would take so much money to do that. We can't raise that kind of money. A third possible solution, through Andrew, he brings this little boy, and he says, we have a little. We've got a little. We've got a few loaves of bread here and a couple small fish. Andrew tells our Lord, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how are they going to do much for so many? There in verse 9. I want to pause there for a minute because this situation, I have found myself in something similar many times in my life. Not necessarily starving and hungry, but I've been in a lot of situations in my life, and you guys have been in situations where there is a need, and you look at it and you think, I don't see a solution. I don't see any way that for this problem there could be any rational answer that's going to solve this. But we start turning to the usual solutions. We start looking at the money. We start looking at arguments, and we start looking at rationality. We start looking at resources and thinking, where's the solution to this? Where's the solution? But in the text tonight, we see that the best solution comes from the Lord, comes from Him. And really, it's the only solution. And even as I say that, I know that with those watching online tonight and folks who are here tonight, that there are situations in your life and you're looking at it, there are relationships, there are financial situations, there's health situations where you look at it and you think this is an insurmountable problem. This is an impossible situation. The need is too great. There is no rational solution here. It is humanly impossible. And I want to tell you, not to minimize your situation, but I have been in humanly impossible situations for decades. One after another, after another, after another. Some of you have seen some of them. And I'm telling you, God is able. That He is a wonder-working God. He is not limited by our thinking and our resources, and He can do the impossible. So one question as we consider the solution here and what the Lord does. Why did God use this little boy? Why did Jesus choose to work through this little boy and his little tiny lunch? I have no idea. I'll just throw that out there to begin with. I don't know. Maybe you do. If you've got a clue, I would like to know what that is. But I have some thoughts about that. You know, the Bible doesn't explicitly say this is why Jesus chose to work in this way. But I can tell you this, that God is a God of intentionality. That He doesn't do anything randomly. He doesn't do anything by accident. There was a reason why He decided to do things the way He did things here. And I think part of it is He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to teach that crowd of 15, 20,000 something. He's teaching His apostles, and He's teaching us through what He's doing here. And I want to offer to you 5 points tonight. 5 points that may be in your situation that God can work in your life. Ways that you can choose to invite the Savior's solution for whatever you're dealing with. So our first point tonight in order to choose the Savior's solution in your need, in your situation, you need to come to Jesus just as you are. You have to come to Jesus just as you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your situation. You need to come to Him as you are. You know, there's times that I've been in situations in my life where I have felt like I'm the victim. You know, somebody is doing this or saying this or whatever, and I'm like, man, that is so wrong. That's so unfair. I'm the victim. And it's just wrong. But there's also been situations in my life where God's made it really clear, I'm not the victim. I'm the problem. You know, and that makes it hard to come to the Lord. You know, there's times where we want to just keep Him at a distance, because if I come to Jesus, He's going to show me truth, right? And the truth is, I'm more of the problem than I am the solution. But our God is so gracious and so awesome, He's like, that doesn't matter, come to me anyway. Just come. Come as you are, no matter what the situation. There's times that I look at situations and I think, Jesus, you know, maybe it's not my situation. Maybe it's a loved one's situation. And I ask the Lord, how can you use me? I mean, I'm nothing. How can you use me? And I think that's honestly a terrible question, because the emphasis is on me. I think a better question is, can Jesus? And if the situation is a good thing, the answer is yes, He can. Right? He can do a miracle. Can Jesus use me? Absolutely. He's so awesome. And part of the point of this story is that He doesn't need you to be much. It's okay to come if you aren't much, because He doesn't need much. He's got a little kid with a sack lunch and 20,000 hungry people. He doesn't need much to work with. Come to Jesus as you are. Jesus meets you as you are, where you are. Just come to Him. And the awesome thing is, He can make amazing things happen. You don't have to know what He's going to do. You don't have to have it figured out. God, how are you going to use me? What are you going to? It doesn't matter. You don't need to know that. You just need to come to Him and trust Him. And He can do a miracle. That little boy could have been anywhere else. He didn't have to be there, right? That little boy could have stayed home with mom and dad. That little boy could have gone fishing. That little boy could have been out playing with his friends. He could have been anywhere, but that little boy chose to be where Jesus was. And that's what you and I need to do, especially in those situations where you think, man, I don't know what to do. Well, go to Jesus. Be close to Jesus. How's that going to help? You don't need to figure that out. Just be close to Jesus. I think that there's really probably only one ability that you really have to have for Jesus to use you in a situation. And it's not sociability. You know, I think about people who are very outgoing and kind and loving, and that's wonderful. But that doesn't have to be you for Jesus to use you. You can be cantankerous and ornery. He can still use you. You know, maybe it's accountability. No, you don't have to be somebody who's got a good accountability partner. You know, I've got good accountability. He doesn't need. Maybe it's reliability. You've got to be somebody who's always faithful and reliable and on time. Don't ever be late. Or Jesus, no, Jesus can use you even if you're tardy, perpetually. Availability. That's what He wants. You just have to come and say, Jesus, I'm available. You do what you want to do. I don't know what it doesn't make. Whatever you're going to do, I can't figure it out, but I'm here. You use me. Availability. So what does that mean to be available? It just means that you are completely at God's disposal. Jesus, I'm here, and everything I've got and everything I am, it's yours. You do what you want to do. Whatever you want. I'm not going to put any restrictions on it. You just, your kingdom come, your will be done, not my will. Our second point, give to Jesus what you have. Give to Jesus what you have. This little boy gave all that he had. Verse 9, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves, 2 small fish. How far will that go among so many? Think about this little boy. This little boy's hungry just like everybody else. Right? They're all hungry. This little boy's hungry and he's got a little bit of food. And if I was that little kid, I'd be thinking, you know, I'm probably going to look pretty good if I give 1 fish and 3 loaves. I'm pretty generous. You know, if I just share a little bit. This little boy, he wasn't just sharing, he was sacrificing. He was like, I'm hungry, but you know what? Jesus, you take it all. You have all of it. He's got this. You know, this little lunch, and I think The Bible doesn't tell us, but maybe he's not even the only one with food. Maybe some of the grown-ups had a couple loaves stashed away themselves, but none of them are coming forward and saying, Jesus, take what I have. This little boy comes forward and he says, you can have it all. He's unselfish. And he's not even ashamed that he has so little. Sometimes we feel ashamed to come to Jesus. You know, Andrew said, this little kid's got a little bit, Jesus, but it's hardly anything. This little kid didn't care what Andrew said. Jesus welcomed him. He welcomed him and he received what he had. Other people might have been snickering and scoffing and saying, like that's going to solve anything. Who's this kid think he is? But I think that maybe this little kid knew something that everybody else didn't know. I think that this little kid understood that it doesn't matter how much or how little you have, that if you will just give from your heart and just trust the Lord with it, he can do awesome things. And this little kid believed that enough to give up his lunch. I think that he knew that Jesus was saying, are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me with it? And his answer was yes. He trusted Jesus. And it's neat that he's trusting the right person. There's a few thousand adults around who are all hungry. That little kid could have given that lunch to somebody else. He could have picked out maybe the most weary or sickly looking person and said, you know what? Social justice would be a good thing for me just to give this to the oldest and weakest among us. Or he could have said, you know, I need to give this to somebody that maybe will help me with my grades in school if I give them what I have. Or, you know, he could have come up with all these reasons to give the food to so many other people, but he entrusted what he had to the one person who could do a miracle, to the one person who could do something awesome. And he gave everything to Jesus. Think about it. What could Jesus do in your life right now? If you were willing, and I was willing to be like this little boy and just say, Jesus, nothing's hidden under the table. I just give all that I am is yours. What could Jesus do? I don't know. But it'd be awesome. Whatever it is. I can tell you this, that any day that you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I trust you and I just give you everything. I give you any day that you do that, it will honor God. It'll honor him. That'll be a day that he's honored in your life. And to me, because I know me, just the fact that God can be honored in my life, wow. My life, my messy, imperfect, goofy life, God can be glorified if I just trust him with who I am, what I got. It's amazing. One of the things, a lot of you guys know that I used to have a flooring installation business a long time ago. I used to do ceramic tile and hardwood floors and carpet. I used to go see Tim Scott over at McCool's or Degler's. And I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. There were so many blessings of that. One of the things that I really enjoyed about flooring is that, like everything, like God's always got some really cool thing going on that you don't expect. And there'd be a lot of divine appointments, and I get to talk to people about Jesus, and it was awesome. But one of the things I really enjoyed was remodeling, where you'd go into a home, and maybe whether it was some wall tile or some flooring or whatever is just kind of old and worn out and, you know, whatever the situation, but you'd go in and you'd just tear it out and install something beautiful and transform it, and it would look great. And I love doing that. There was, I can think of times, there was one time for a couple, it was actually a ceiling about this high, and going into two rooms off of a fireplace, I did this, like, walls full of glass tile. It was gorgeous. It was so beautiful. And it's a miracle. I mean, just that God made it turn out so well. And I remember another job where there was, it was hardwood flooring, and the people had me use different colors of hardwood floor and do patterns on the floor. And it was so beautiful. Or there was a time where in Greentown, there was a lady who had a shower, like a walk-in shower, and she was very artistic, and she had me create like a frame with a tile and then break up different things, and she did this inset dragonfly, and it was amazing. It was amazing. But the thing about a remodeling job is that for any of that to ever happen, you've got to go in and demo, right? You've got to tear out all of the old before you can do any of that stuff. And there's a lot of us who, including me sometimes, who are saying, Jesus, I need you to do a new work in my life. I've got a mess right here. I've got some brokenness right here. I've got some darkness. I've got something here that I need a new work. And I know you can come in and do something beautiful, but I'm clinging to the old. And he's saying, love to do a miracle for you. Waiting for you to let go of the old. You got to let that go before he can do that new thing. You got to give up that old situation before he can give you a new situation. You have to trust him. You have to trust him with those old things so that he can give you the new. That little boy had no idea what Jesus was going to do. The thousands of adults had no idea what Jesus was going to do. But there in verse 6, Jesus, it said, he already had in mind what he was going to do, and he knew he was going to give. He was going to do a miracle, and he was going to give to tens of thousands of people. He was going to feed them generously. You know, there's times in my life where I'm just, you know, because I know this about Jesus, but I cling to things sometimes, or to people, or to situations, or to dreams, or to expectations, or just desires, and that I try to justify, and I cling to them. And Jesus has so much more, something so much better. There was a missionary in Turkey a long time ago named William Schaffler, and he wasn't a wealthy man, but he was very generous as a missionary, and he gave money and food and just resources to people just all the time, just giving and giving and giving, and he didn't have much, but it didn't run out, and he kept giving, and he would be asked, a lot of times people would say, how are you able to do that? I mean, you keep giving to people all the time, and you just don't seem to run out. I mean, how can you explain that? And he said, I keep taking my shovel and I scoop into God's blessings and I just cast it into people's lives. And he said, as I do that, as I just give out of the little I have, God keeps taking his shovel and dumping it into my life. And he said, God's shovel is a lot bigger than my shovel. I think, man, that's me sometimes. Sometimes I'm so silly just looking at little things or old things and just thinking, I better hang on to that. And Jesus has got his hand on the shovel. He's like, I'm waiting to bless your socks off. I've got provision for you. I've got what you need. I've got something new for you. Our third point. Trust and obey Jesus. Trust and obey Jesus. Jesus wants all of us to trust and obey him unconditionally. God's been working on me for years, and still is, I'm sure, with this. Some of us, man, our brains just get in our way. There's times I just need a spiritual lobotomy. God help me. You know? To where it's like, Lord, I am all in. Whatever, I trust you, Lord. I am all in. Whatever you want to do, as soon as I understand it. As soon as you explain it to me, you know what? He doesn't owe me explanations. Verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down. Have the people sit down. There's plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. The disciples still didn't know what Jesus was going to do. They had no idea. Brad and I were talking the other day, and he reminded me of a term that I think is kind of cool, analysis paralysis. Have you guys ever heard of analysis paralysis? There are times I need somebody to hit me upside the head with a Bible because I get analysis paralysis. To where it's just like, as soon as I understand, well, I'll make a decision, I'll trust God, I'll obey as soon as I understand. But I need to analyze first. You've got 12 disciples there, right? 12 apostles who all have their own solutions, and they could have sat there all day long thinking, here's the pros and here's the cons of Andrew's solution and James's solution and John's solution and Philip. And they could have just analyzed all day long because they had no idea what Jesus was going to do. And somehow, a miracle, they actually obeyed. They trusted him. They did what he said. There's so many times in my life where God has just impressed something upon me so clearly. And I've just, like, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and that's not bad. Sometimes that's from him. But there's times I'm praying and praying and praying, and it's just, I'm just saying, Lord, it just doesn't add up. I just don't get it, what you're telling me to do. I don't understand yet. And another name for delayed obedience is disobedience. That's been me a lot of times. I just get in the way. We don't have to have everything figured out to follow what God clearly tells us to do. See, for me, in my flesh, before I came to Jesus, and this is part of what carried through even when I got saved, before I came to Jesus, I was such a heady person. Like, I just kind of lived that way. Like, whatever made sense to me, that I'll justify it because it makes sense to me. And just live that way. And then coming into the Christian life, and Jesus says, the new living way is to trust me, not you figuring everything out. And there's times I still fight against that. Our fourth point, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Jesus then took the loaves there in verse 11. He gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. I think it's really significant that the Apostle John, when he's writing this, he included that Jesus gave thanks. Actually, all four gospel writers, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it also says that Jesus gave thanks. And actually, in those synoptic gospels, and all those other three, it says that Jesus looked up to the sky and gave thanks. I think that's really important. You know, Jesus, there were times where Jesus was praying and speaking to the Father, and he said, Father, I said this for their benefit, for the disciples who are around me. They need to hear this. And Jesus, when he's looking up and he's giving thanks, it's because it's sincere. He's sincerely thanking the Father, but it's because the people looking need to understand every good thing in your life comes from God. And people need to know that. And it's a reminder as they see Jesus look up and thank the Father that everything that's about to happen, it's from God. Every good thing in your life is from him, and we need to pause and to give thanks. And he's given thanks even before it happens. He's thanking the Father already. He's like, I know what's about to happen here, Father, because you are faithful and you are awesome and you are going to answer this prayer. And he starts thanking the Father. He took those little loaves, he gave thanks to the Father, and what happened? It was awesome. The results were amazing. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Verse 14, after the people saw the sign that Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing what they intended, that they intended to come and to make him king by force, he withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Our fifth point. Honor Jesus. Honor Jesus. If you want to see God's solution in your life, in your situation, you need to honor Jesus. And these people, they weren't just fed, they were filled up. And there was baskets of leftovers there. And the people recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah, the prophet from God. And they wanted, it wasn't his timing yet, but they wanted to make him king. They were honoring him. And I think, how many times in my life do I receive an answer to prayer, and God meets my need, and I'm just like, yay, God, he met my need, and I just move on to the next thing. Now do this. But these folks stopped, and they're like, wow, he's from the Father. This is the Messiah sent from God, and I want him to be king. I want that to be my response. You know, when God answers prayer, and he works in my life, and he blesses me, and that's like every day, that I acknowledge Jesus is the Christ and I want him to be my king. That's my response. Not just, I'm glad my belly's full. What's next for me, Jesus? What are you going to do for me? but they want to make him king. That little boy just hanging out with Jesus, he didn't have much to give. He was just a kid. But he was willing to come to Jesus and to just give it all, just to give what he had. Think about just for that one day. I don't know this kid's name, but for that one day, there's like 20,000 people who are massively blessed by Jesus, and Jesus chose to use this little, for that one day, this little boy made a massive difference in his world. Tens of thousands of people blessed because one boy said, I'm going to trust Jesus with everything. It kind of strips away the excuses that I have of saying, Lord, I don't know you could do much through me. It's like, well, I could bless 20,000 people today if you'll trust me. So I'll ask this question. Will you do that in your life today? Will you do that in your life? Will you choose to let God guide you and just giving whatever he wants you to give to him? And I don't know, you know, the cool thing about Jesus is he wants even the ugly stuff. He wants the bad, not just the good. You know, we come to him, we think, well, here's kind of a talent that I have. And he's like, yeah, I want your sin too. I want your brokenness. I want your pride. I want everything. So I just want to ask you, would you do that today? Whatever God is just, whatever he lays on your heart, and I have no idea what that is. And just know that if you will trust, whatever you'll trust Jesus with, he's going to do something great with it. And I can tell you, even though I don't know what that is, I know that every time you're all in and you trust Jesus and you give yourself to him, he'll make sure that he's honored in your life. And even if he doesn't do anything else, that's enough. Even if he's just honored in your life from you trusting him. So I'm going to invite Brad to come on back up. And we're going to have a pre-communion song here. And it's called What Love My God. We'll just let the Holy Spirit guide you with this song. If you want to stand up and sing, you can do that. If you want to sit and just talk to the Lord, you can do that. We've recently moved some things around. There's a dance praise area now. I don't know. Somebody's got to be the first one. So, Chad, you up for it? You know, just let the Lord guide you, you know. He's so good. He's so good. Anytime he invites us to just trust him and give ourselves to him, it's for our good. He does such beautiful things with messy kids. So let's trust him today. And I'll come back up in a minute. I'm going to pray briefly and then I'll turn it over to Brad. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful story. Lord, thank you for this reminder that you love the least and that in your hands, even the least, God, that you can use them to do awesome things in this world. Lord, we praise you that for each one of us that you lived a perfect life and you came and died on that cross and took our sins upon yourself and you resurrected in power and that you are enthroned above today and that you've made a home for each of us. Lord, thank you that you have started this eternal love relationship with each one of us who trust in you. Remind us, Lord, of what you did. Remind us of who you are. Remind us that you are worthy of our praises. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.